This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Tyler Johnson gets the puck and rushes with it down the left wing. Across the Montreal line, he stops left circle, actually ducks behind the net. Johnson, a backhand shot, save made by Price. He centers it. Score! Score! It went in! That might end Kucherov. Either way, the Lightning win it! 1-0 in overtime!
Giroux makes one move, two! Can't bury it! Hammond makes the save! Ottawa wins it in the shootout! 10-0-1 is Andrew Hammond. He wins his first shootout game. The Senators get the valuable extra point.
Over to the far wing.
Shoot, score! Oh my goodness! Unbelievable! The Blues just got a break on a shot by Barrett Jackman. As he got it inside the blue line, he just threw it to the net to keep it in. And somehow that puck beats Pavlik under the crossbar.
30 seconds to go in the extra frame. Tavares, right wing over the Toronto line, with speed, drives to the hash marks, now to the dot, Tavares cuts in front, shoots, he scores! What a goal by John Tavares! He has won it in overtime here tonight for the Islanders, 4-3, and they are off the visiting bench to mob the captain!
This is the Puck Podcast, the number one hockey podcast on the internet. The number one hockey podcast on iTunes, and voted the number one hockey podcast by the Bleacher Report, with your hosts, Eddie Garcia and Doug Stolhan.
From Los Angeles, I'm Eddie Garcia along with Doug Stolhan. Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Puck Podcast. Coming up, we got three periods to get you updated on everything that has happened in the past week in the world of hockey. In the first period, we'll recap the past week on the ice in the NHL, which included a controversial move by a head coach whose team's in a playoff hunt. In the second period, we'll recap all the news from the past week, including a war of words between a player and a general manager. And in the third period, we'll read your Facebook posts, your tweets, your emails, all that and more coming up on this edition of the Puck Podcast. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. Doug, I see you are wearing a green shirt.
Was that a coincidence,
or are
no,
you
of course
in,
not.
In the spirit of things?
I am trying to avoid being pinched.
That wouldn't happen at work, would it?
Of course.
Of course?
Yes.
Someone would pinch you at work if you weren't wearing green.
I imagine someone would, yes. It's happened in the past. I don't know when that tradition started. That was big as a kid, right?
Yeah.
But I know I've been pinched here before. I mean, it's not like something from prick boss. It would have to be somebody that knew me, obviously. That's some stranger going to come up to me. But why take that chance? You are not wearing green. You are.
No, I'm not.
You are taunting the Irish.
I don't think prick boss is Irish. So
no, he's not. Well, neither am I. Yeah. What do you know about St. Patrick's Day? Like, why is it on the calendar?
It is on the calendar so people who like to drink can drink.
Oh, yeah, because they need an excuse.
They don't need an excuse, but they've got one.
So that's why it's a holiday.
Isn't that what it's for, basically? I mean, it's so people can go out. It's like Cinco de Mayo. It's an excuse to go out and have margaritas. An excuse to go out and drink green beer. That's what it is. It's an excuse for people to go out and get
S-faced.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the only thing? Have you ever had corned beef and cabbage?
No.
That's Jackie is making that for us today. Traditional Irish meal for St. Patrick's Day. And I honestly don't know the origin of it. I'm not, you know, obviously there
well,
was
I
a St. Patrick.
There's a St. Patrick, yeah, and it's not Patrick
patron
Law.
Saint of Ireland. What do you think he was the patron saint of? Let's look it up on the old interweb here. While you give us an update, because I noticed you're not wearing a jacket. Certainly not a Letterman's jacket. What's the update, Ed?
Well, let's save that. You want to do it now, or you want to?
Yeah, go ahead. People are. It was the talk of Facebook and the internet.
Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct.
All right. Well, let's see. When we last left you with Jacket Gate, as Brian Kennedy has coined it, I was getting ready to call the number again, the Team LA customer service number. They were going to call me back, but of course they didn't. And I got the email that just said, you know, sorry, Team LA, basically. So I called them back and kind of explained the situation to them. And in the meantime, I had received a email. This is before I even had contacted him. I hadn't done anything. I got an email from him saying, your order has been shipped. Here is a tracking number.
Outstanding.
So I'm like, I was not optimistic that that was going to solve things.
You didn't think getting the item would solve things?
No, I was hopeful it was going to be shipped. I did not believe that my item was shipped.
But that email said it had been shipped.
It had been shipped.
Like somebody had put your jacket in a box, sealed it up, put your address on it, and got a tracking number. And off you go. Okay. No, I'm saying. If I had gotten that, I would have thought, hot damn, it's on its way.
Well, they wouldn't generate
that by accident.
I'm not a pessimistic person by nature. I'm an optimistic person by nature, but
if you say so.
Okay. I did not. When I got this email, I thought that would be nice, but I don't. I'll believe it when I see it. That was my thought on getting that email, which I'm looking for on my phone to see if I could actually read it to you. And
by the way, the history of St. Patrick's Day is the Feast of St. Patrick. He was the foremost patron saint of Ireland, and he died back in the year 461.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's quite some time.
When you're back in the three digits.
He's got to be pretty excited that we're still talking about him.
Oh, he must have been a hell of a guy. Hell of a guy. But usually it says it is observed by Irish people and people of Irish descent, the Catholic Church, the Anglican Communion, Eastern Orthodox Church, and the Lutheran Church. It does not say observed by drunks, but
well,
it probably
it should.
Yeah. American drunks.
Here's the subject, the title yep. of the email is, your order has been shipped, !
Excellent. Has been shipped.
Yeah. Thank you for your order from teamlastore.com. We wanted to let you know that your order, number 2, blah, 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 was shipped via UPS Ground on March the 9th, 2015. You can track your package at any time using the link below.
Outstanding. See, now, if
it says ship to, my name and address.
Yeah.
Track your shipment, and it's got a very long list of numbers and letters. Item number, description, quantity.
It's all there.
All there.
Now, I'm like you. At heart, I am an optimist, but I certainly have a cynical view of the world. But if I had gotten that, I would think, okay, obviously my bitching and moaning has had some effect. When I see something that says past tense, it has been shipped, that to me says they've taken care of the situation. If I got that email, I would be like, okay, fine. But
well, I wasn't.
What's the update?
Well, the next day, again, I was going to call, but I got that email. So I'm like, okay, let's wait a couple days. We'll see what happens. I'll click on the tracking number, blah, blah. The next day, I get this email, and it says, and the subject is order, blah, 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 with Team LA. Thank you for contacting us. We sincerely apologize for this inconvenience. We will be honoring the sale price you have paid for the missing jacket towards a different product of your choice. We also have a discount code available for you for 20% off your next purchase. Below are the details. Please let us know which item you would like to exchange, and we will ship this out as soon as possible. In addition, for the inconvenience, we will be including a special gift with your order. Again, we sincerely apologize for any trouble this has caused. We remain at your service. Team LA Store.
Such a personalized thing.
So,
Team LA Store.
Now,
This reminds me of another incident we've had in the past, but go on.
Well, now I'm thinking maybe I'll luck out. I'll get the jacket and I'll have this, you know?
Win-win.
Because the first time I ever ordered a jersey was in college. I ordered a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey, and it was like 2 months before the season was about to start, and I ordered it. And 3 months later, you know, this is before the internet, or well, about the time of the internet.
Yeah.
And I know no Jersey. So I ended up calling a number and they said, we're having a problem with it. We won't be able to send it to you for like another 3 months. And I'm like, well, I wanted to wear it for this football season. So this is kind of defeating the purpose. So I would like a refund. They said, okay, no problem. So I got my money back. And then 3 months later, I got a Steelers jersey in the mail. So I was thinking, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know, the two, you know how it is with certain companies.
One
department isn't communicating with the other and so on and so forth. So anyway, so I get that email. So now I'm thinking, okay, what's going on? So I waited a couple more days to see if anything would happen. Every day I would go and click on the tracking number and it would never leave the it says
processing
it's ready
center.
to be shipped, right?
Yep.
That's like the very first little button.
So
and it never progressed from there.
So there's a box sitting somewhere with your name and address
allegedly.
On it. Probably next to the lost ark at the end of Raiders.
You know,
it's in that warehouse.
So I call back and talk to a guy this time and just explain.
His name is Team LA
Store. I said, how often is it? Let me ask you this. I was told it's very rare for somebody to place an order and that order not to be filled. There's some kind of computer error. Oh, we don't have any more. I've been told that's very rare. How rare is it to get that and then get another email saying your shipment has been, it's been shipped, you know, it's been sent to you. So needless to say, it's
still no jacket,
And, I was talking at the Friday family dinner about this and said, I think I'm ready to give up on this and I'm done.
They've beaten you.
They've all said, no, you must continue this fight. And I'm like, well, that's easy for you all to say because where do I go from here on this? You know, I've called twice. I've talked to someone. I can't prove that they lied to me, which I feel like they did. But so I don't know.
Well, again, you got a receipt for your purchase. You got an email saying
the,
it had
the
shipped.
Question is now.
So
do I say, screw it. I'm not going to allow them to take any more of my money. Get a refund and be done with them.
Who are you kidding?
Or do I accept their offer? And I'm sure the free gift is must be. I'm just dying to see what
that's
the free
what
gift
reminds
is.
Me of our friend Andrew, who went to McDonald's.
We've told this story before, I'm sure.
He had he ordered himself a couple of hamburgers. Mm-hmm. He got home. There was no meat in the hamburgers.
Yeah.
So and he did not order it special with no meat. So
yeah, this was not an animal style or whatever.
Yeah, no, there was simply buns, pickles, ketchup, mustard, and that's it. He goes back. First, it was late at night. This was college. It was late at night. He goes to the door. They're locked. So they told him to go through the drive-thru. And I'm in the car with him. And we get to the drive-thru, and, of course, they give the, welcome to McDonald's. Can I have no meat? Excuse me, sir? No meat. I got two hamburgers with no meat. Oh, please come to the window, please. We get up there again. He's yelling no meat, waving the bag in their face. They tell him, we'll get you a couple more hamburgers. And for your inconvenience, we'll get you free hot apple pie.
Do I need to finish the story for you?
They give him the bag. We drive about 20 feet out of the drive-thru. He looks in the bag. He uses some expletives and says they forgot.
Take over.
They did not give him his apple pies. His free gift was not included. So he proceeded to get out of the vehicle, throw his burgers at the building and scream F you McDonald's. And Doug, as he is now, was laughing hysterically. So that's always been one of our more favorite.
He's never
stories.
Been back since.
Yeah.
It's been over 20 years.
A postscript to that story was I went a few weeks later
to the same McDonald's.
I believe they were cheeseburgers, not just burgers. I also received two cheeseburgers with no meat, to which I concluded this must be a couple of teenagers who just think this will be funny. We just won't give them any meat. So what did I do? Did I return to the store? I did not. What did I do? I took the French fries and put them in between the buns and had a McFry sandwich because I was too lazy to go back to the McDonald's and complain. Plus, they weren't going to give me an apple pie anyway. I'd learned the lesson. So, We'll see. We'll see.
I think this requires you to take the whatever bag they ship you,
throw it,
go
at
to
the
Team LA
warehouse.
Store, yell "FU Team LA Store," and drive off in a huff.
Yeah,
that would be fantastic. That would complete the circle.
All right. Well, there's the update on that.
All right. Let's get to the week of hockey.
Yeah, we have a little bit more than a week to recap because we'd planned to do the show on the weekend, but Doug had a work emergency, so we had to reschedule. So we're doing the show on Tuesday, March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. So let us rewind and go back to last Sunday where we had six games on the schedule. We will start with the Bruins hosting the Red Wings, Boston, getting a couple of Danny Pie goals, including the game-winning goal from him. They also scored two power play goals and two shorthanded goals, so the special teams for Boston getting it done in a 5-3 win over Detroit. And with that win, Boston has had a four-point lead on Florida for that second wildcard spot in the East. And the Bruins maybe starting to get on track here at this point.
Yeah, and Steven Weiss on one of the goals, he had an absolutely terrible turnover entering the zone. Danny Paille stole it, went down and scored on a great individual effort. Just a complete play from him. He was feeling it. The entire Bruins team was feeling it. They had won 4 of 5 at that point, certainly seemingly getting their groove on in just the right time.
And a couple of teams fighting for a playoff spot. The Ottawa Senators were hosting the Calgary Flames. And in this game, Craig Anderson was starting in net, not Andrew Hammond, who we had talked about, of course, last week. The Hamburglar, one of the hottest goalies in the league. But Dave Cameron, who's the head coach of the Ottawa Senators, said Craig Anderson is our best goalie. And so he decided to start him against Calgary. Everything looked great early on. A 4-0 lead for Ottawa before, of course, the Flames, as they do often, come storming back. They
now,
scored.
This was in the third period.
Third period,
with
they scored.
With just 13 and a half minutes to play, they had a 4-0 lead.
They scored four goals to tie it up. Now, Ottawa would eventually get the win in a shootout. Erik Karlsson gets the game-winning goal in that shootout for the Senators. But Calgary does salvage a very important point, certainly for them. I'm sure a part of them felt like, you know, a little bit of a win there. Craig Anderson did surrender those four goals in the third period. Now, granted, he did see a lot of shots, so he didn't get a lot of help from his teammates. But at the same time, out comes the Hamburglar. In comes in Craig Anderson. The Senators lose.
They won.
They did pick up the 2 points.
Yeah.
That put them 5 points back of Boston at that point, because I told you the Bruins already won. Calgary, meanwhile, did pick up the 1 point and move 2 points up on LA for third place in the Pacific Division.
And that, Ed, early in the show, was my Grandma Fiddler game of the week. It was the comeback from Calgary was so impressive. I mean, they talk about the resolve of this team. And we, at least I, wrote him off after the Mark Giordano injury right at the trade deadline, because the loss of, I think, their best all-around player, certainly their best defenseman, I thought would be too much to overcome. It was 4-0 less than halfway through the second. I mean, they got off to a horrible start. And the starting goalie yanked. In comes Jonas Hiller. He was under siege for the rest of the second period, held up. But with 13 and a half minutes to play, you're down four goals. To tie that game is amazing to me. The comeback and the resolve, it just everything started clicking for them. And when they get going, they are a unstoppable force when they are clicking and doing just that has to give them so much confidence that no game is over and that they can always come back. And just an amazing game to watch. Their resolve, complete turnaround in that third period, really impressive from Calgary.
Well,
in a loss, no less.
Yeah, sometimes you like to leave early or turn off early. If you're a Flames fan,
if I was a Flames fan,
you will never turn the TV off. Never.
No.
Because
I mean, you'd be a fool to after that one, certainly, because and the way they've done in the third period this year, they've been one of the best third period teams in the NHL. Yeah, you know they got a good third. Now, certainly, if I was a Flames fan and I'm going into the third period, I think, all right, maybe we get an early goal. We're back in it. But when the first TV timeout comes and goes and we still haven't scored, I'm probably thinking, not going to happen tonight. We're good in the third, but this is ridiculous. And then four goals in just over 11 minutes of hockey. Absolutely amazing.
I thought the decision by Dave Cameron to start Craig Anderson was completely ridiculous. His justification was he's our best goalie. And certainly you can say that Andrew Hammond is a flash in the pan, perhaps. But, and you're sure Craig Anderson has a track record where Andrew Hammond has, you know, a few handful of games. But I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked when he announced he was going to start Craig Anderson, because your team is on a streak with this kid in net. And when you are in a position like Ottawa where you have to, I mean, you almost have to get points every game to be able to try and catch Boston. You don't do anything to screw around with what this little magic you've got going on right now. Now, granted, Dave Cameron has done a good job in Ottawa when the fat puffy walrus got fired, Paul McLean. I think we all thought that you had been calling for his firing for quite some time, but I think we all thought that this probably wasn't going to change much. They were not bringing in a guy from the outside. They were promoting an assistant coach. And I do want to give Dave Cameron some credit. He deserves at least some credit for the way this team has played.
Oh, absolutely.
Down the stretch.
A lot of teams in the NHL this year have completely given up on the season. And Ottawa was never in a strong playoff position at any point in this season, and they've always played hard. The other team that I give credit to is Carolina. You watch the Hurricanes play, and you wouldn't know that they were one of the worst teams in the league. They play hard every night, unlike Toronto, unlike Buffalo.
That having been said,
yes.
I still thought this was a ridiculous decision on his part. Look, when your team's going right, I don't think you do anything to mess with it. I mean, especially a goalie. I mean, it's one thing if Erik Karlsson's injured and gets hurt. Okay, of course you put him back in the lineup. But if there's another defenseman that in his place has been playing out of his mind, you're not going to bench him. You'll move him down or move him somewhere else, but you're going to keep him in the lineup. So I was, this was not second guessing. This was first guessing. I posted it on Facebook. I said, what is this guy doing? So they do win the game, but I would not have made that move if I was him. I'm going with the Hamburglar until he, can't steal the hamburgers anymore.
Yeah. Well, you got we said last week, Craig Anderson said himself, why would you put me in? The guy's red hot. Obviously, The only thing I can think of is they're worried about burning the kid out because they have a certain number of games left, and they think we can't play this guy 26 straight games or whatever it is. We got to get Craig Anderson in there eventually. Here's the night. They ended up winning the game, so even if it was the wrong decision, they got the 2 points. They got the win. They keep pace in the playoff race, so no harm done to the team. And ultimately, it doesn't hurt you, but I agree that I questioned it, but... It worked out, so you can let him off the hook, but I think the only reason I can think of is that he thought, we got to get him in there eventually, may as well play him tonight. Tonight's as good as any, and then we got to arrested Andrew Hammond for our next game.
Devils beat the Flyers 5-2. Adam Henrique with 2 goals. Eric Jelinek gets the game winner. With that loss, Philadelphia dropped 7 points back of Boston in that race for the second wild card spot in the East, and if that wasn't it for the Flyers at that point, it soon would be.
The Flyers, when we previewed them in the season, before the season, we said their offense was good, their goaltending was good, their defense was awful. And that is proven to be the case. It's the only thing keeping this team from being in the playoffs. In this game, the Devils had numerous odd man chances against them, including a 2-on-none breakaway. That's ridiculous. The defense from the Flyers is the problem there, and it's going to keep them out of the playoffs this season because they've got Jakub Voracek and Claude Giroux having very good seasons. Simmons is playing well. They've got the offensive production. Steve Mason is playing well, but when you've got numerous odd man rushes against you and a 2-on-none, that's just ridiculous. No goalie can hold up to that over 82 games. They've got to shore up their defense in the offseason, and I know Ron Hextall is taking a long approach, their GM, of rebuilding that roster, getting them out of salary cap hell. But it's going to be a process. This was a lost opportunity with this production they got from their offense and the goaltending.
The Avalanche cool off the Wild with a 3-2 win. Gabriel Landeskog gets the game-winning goal as Minnesota's 5-game winning streak was snapped. Simon Varlamov did leave this game in the third period with an injury, but Colorado again gets the win to keep their playoff hopes alive. Minnesota, meanwhile, with that loss, they remained a point up on Winnipeg for that first wildcard spot in the West.
Varlamov was great when he was in there. It was fantastic. The only puck that really beat him was a puck off of a teammate's skate until the late goal, but he was fantastic in a 3-2 win for the Avalanche.
Rangers continue to play well. They get a 1-0 win in Chicago over the Blackhawks. In overtime, Derek Brassard with the game-winning goal, the only goal of the game. Cam Talbot gets the shutout with a 29-save performance, and Corey Crawford had 35 saves in the tough luck loss for Chicago. And finally, the Hurricanes beat the Oilers 7-4. Carolina rallied from down 3-0 with 4 third-period goals. Elias Lindholm gets a hat trick for the Canes, and Alexander Semin had a goal of the year candidate, a little bit similar to the Alexander Ovechkin goal back in Arizona, where he was on his back and was sliding and still somehow got the puck towards the net. Same thing with Alexander Semin, where he gets knocked down, but he still had the presence of, you know, to where the puck was and was able to take a shot while laying on his back.
Yeah, from behind him on the, you know, above his head, and get his stick on the puck and direct it towards the net. And Richard Bachman, who was in net for the Oilers, was in the process of getting up from having hit the ice to get down. And so he got up just in time for the puck to go under him and into the net. It was an absolute amazing bit of athleticism and hand-eye coordination from Alexander Semin. The disgusting part for Hurricanes fans is that was his fourth goal of the year. And you need a lot more from that guy. Just a ridiculous low number from him. But that was, to me, the goal of the year. I watched that countless times, and I'm still amazed by the athleticism.
Well, obviously, I try to pull some of the top highlights from the week for the opening of the show, and I went to try and get this highlight, and Chuck Caton, the old play-by-play guy for the Hurricanes, I think he came from the Hartford days, I believe. He's been doing it for a long time, and he does it by himself. Well, you remember back in the old days, you ever hear that story about the football announcer, when he'd get it wrong, he would just have the guy lateral it to the guy who scored, and he would end up having a disaster. Chuck didn't know what happened, so he just kind of made it up. And he had somebody getting a rebound and putting it in. So
prove me wrong, radio audience.
That's right. I'm sure on the fly.
Oh, you have no idea.
That would be difficult to figure out what the hell just happened.
Yeah. Who knocked that in?
So, he went with someone else.
Oh, it looks like they're going to credit it to Semin. They've changed that goal. They're scoring on that last goal.
It's a veteran move, Chuck. Veteran move.
The Edmonton Oilers in that game, they were up 3-1 in the second. And that goal by Semin was the first goal for the Hurricanes. So it was 3-0 in the second period. And they lost 7-4 in regulation. Woof. To be up 3 in the second period and lose by 4 in regulation, just another frustrating season for the Edmonton Oilers. It's got to turn around eventually.
Let's move to Monday, where we had 5 games on the schedule. The Canucks edged the Ducks 2-1. Zach Cassian gets the game-winning goal, his 10th of the year. He's got 8 goals in his last, 8 goals in his last 10 games. Or excuse me, let me back up here and read this properly.
Go ahead.
Zach Cassian gets the game-winning goal, his 10th of the year.
Mm-hmm.
8 of his 10 goals this season have come in the last month. So
he's heating up.
He had been benched. He'd been in the doghouse. But now heating up and starting to play some good hockey that they had hoped to get from him earlier in the season. Eddie Lack, of course, in net for the injured Ryan Miller with 29 saves, as we'll see several examples this week, where we talk about teams who have suffered a significant loss and still continue to play some pretty good hockey, and showing that, look, this is a team sport. As great as certain individuals are, and eventually you think you feel that loss, but at least for the time being, these teams, whether it's the Rangers and Henrik Lundqvist or the Blackhawks and Patrick Kane, still going along pretty well despite those losses. And the same for the Canucks with Ryan Miller out of the lineup.
You've got to have quality depth. We saw it with the Predators. Carter Hutton held down the fort while Pekka-Rinne was out. In fact, the Predators' struggles started when Rinne got back into the net, not related to him specifically, but just as a coincidence. But yeah, Eddie Lack has done a great job filling in for Ryan Miller, and he has some experience in the net. It's not like he's unproven, but he's getting the chance to run with it right now in a playoff race and doing very well. Bo Horvat getting the other goal for the Canucks, so they're young guys coming through for him in this one, and for the Ducks as well, Emerson Edom scoring his 5th goal of the year.
And for Vancouver, with that win, they moved 3 points up on Calgary in the battle for second place in the Pacific Division. Sharks beat the Penguins 2-1 in a shootout. Tommy Wingles gets the shootout game winner in the eighth round. Antti Niemi had 39 saves as San Jose moved 4 points back of Winnipeg for the second wildcard spot in the West. Predators edge the Coyotes in Arizona 2-1 in overtime. James Neal gets the game-winning goal as 22nd of the year, and Pecorini had 27 saves. Nashville snapped its six-game losing streak and moved into a tie with Anaheim for the most points in the NHL with 91. Islanders knock off the Maple Leafs 4-3 in overtime. John Tavares gets the game-winning goal, a beautiful goal in overtime to get the winner. New York improved to 10-3-3 in its last 16 games and moved into a tie with Montreal for the top record in the East. And there's a lot of jockeying going on right now with that top record in the Eastern Conference. We'll see it throughout the week.
Yeah, and throughout the rest of the season, it's going to be a race for the seeding in the Eastern Conference for sure, if not the playoff berths. But a very nice, and we can't understate how good a season John Tavares has had. 33 goals now. The guy has been Mr. Everything for that team.
And great to see him come back from the injury.
Yeah, the injury that he suffered in the Olympics, missed the second half of last season as a result, came back in full health this season and has been absolutely fantastic. And you mentioned teams playing without star players. They lost Kyle Okposo right about the All-Star break this year, and they have played very well in his absence, and John Tavares continues to produce.
Finally, Monday, the Red Wings beat the Oilers 5-2. Timu Polkinen with the game-winning goal. Pavel Datsyuk gets his 23rd of the year as Edmonton was officially eliminated from the playoffs with that loss to Detroit. To Tuesday, where we had eight games on the schedule, the Rangers beat the Islanders 2-1 in the final regular season game at the Nassau Memorial Coliseum between the Rangers and the Islanders. Of course, there's a possibility they could meet up in the postseason. But again, final regular season game on the island between the Rangers and the Islanders. New York gets the win. Rick Nash, the game-winning goal in the third period. He's 39th of the year. It was a deflection off of Ryan Strom. Cam Talbot, another solid game. 29 saves as New York moved 1 point behind the Islanders for first place in the Metropolitan Division.
You know Cam Talbot is doing well when they aren't even asking when's Henrik coming back. There's not even updates about Henrik Lundqvist.
Well, I don't know if I'd go quite that far.
Well, I mean, they're not saying, you know, whenever he comes back. But if he was struggling, there would be a daily King Henrik watch of when can he be back? What's the update? Was he? But they're winning at a ridiculous clip. I know coming into this show, not after this game, in their last 43 games, Ed, the Rangers are 33-7-3. Over a half a season, they've lost seven games in regulation. And a lot of those games have been with Cam Talbot in net. You talk about a workhorse. He is playing just about every single night for the New York Rangers and getting the job done. Really proving his worth as their backup and a potential starter for some team next year if he decides to make a trade or pursue other avenues when his contract is up. But he has been a very valuable member of the Rangers this season and getting them in the race for the Metropolitan Division.
Huge game for the Ottawa Senators as they were taking on and hosting the Boston Bruins in a game that was going to be a big swing as far as the points go in that chase for a wild card spot. Boston gets the 3-1 win. Craig Anderson was in net for this one. Ryan Spooner with two goals in the second period for Boston. Tuukka Rask, 39 saves in net as, again, the Bruins get the win. And with that win, they move 7 points up on Ottawa for that second wild card spot in the East. And
Here's where I question Craig Anderson back-to-back.
Yeah.
I don't get that. I mean, I get giving Andrew Hammond a rest, and maybe you wanted him sharp for this game. I would have given you the benefit of the doubt, but I don't get playing him back-to-back. I think this is where coaches outsmart themselves, much like the decision to pass the football on second and goal from the one-yard line for the Seattle Seahawks. You outsmart yourself. If you're running the ball effectively, keep doing it until they stop you. Keep playing Andrew Hammond until he plays his way out of the crease. And then you go to Craig Anderson, who's a capable starter and having a good season on his own. But I don't get playing him back-to-back, and it burned him in this one. I'm not saying Anderson was the reason they lost. They only scored one goal, and they got severely outplayed by Boston in this game, who was just hungry and looking to put some distance between the two. But why not go with the hot goalie at that time rather than go with the backup? Well, not the backup, but the veteran who had been
on the
bench.
That's what I don't get about his explanation to begin with of why he put Anderson back in net, because he didn't say we needed to give the kid a break. He said Anderson's our best goalie. So if you don't play him in what is probably your most important game of the year, why you would see the response would be, why would you not play your best goalie in the biggest game of the year? So, I mean, I thought
the
statement
decision,
that he made was odd to begin with, or the reasoning for it.
The decision, the statement is true to both directions. Andrew Hammond is our best goalie right now. Craig Anderson is our best goalie in the organization. If we're going into a season next year and we say, who's going to be our starter? It's going to be Craig Anderson. If I'm saying, who do I want to play tonight? It's Andrew Hammond. I mean, that's just the way I would look at it.
I agree.
And so he can be right both ways. And but it was a very curious decision, and it's one that will bring in some divine intervention later in the week.
Stars beat the Flyers in Philadelphia 2-1. Vernon Fiddler with the game-winning goal in the third period. Kari Lehtinen with 25 saves as Philadelphia dropped 9 points back at Boston for that second wild card spot. I think we can call time of death on this one, Doctor.
Yes.
As Steve Mason, the goalie afterwards, was not happy with what he called a lack of urgency from the Philadelphia Flyers.
Remember, we saw the statement from Jay Shiger 3 years ago now of angry at his team because they were more worried about what they were going to do in the offseason in Las Vegas than they were with the game that night. And the next season, with Jay Shiger behind the bench or still on the team, they had a complete change, and granted, there was a coaching change. There was a lot of things that went on in Colorado, but they went from last place to first place in their division. You wonder if Steve Mason speaking out and putting his teammates on notice publicly will serve as some sort of catalyst for next season, even though I'm not saying this team is taking nights off. Like we said, they're doing their job, but you wonder if that'll just change the mindset going into next year of an urgency and a lack of excuse for not getting the job.
And it's kind of an interesting topic for this week because we see a couple different instances, and again, not the same situation, but the whole question of when is it okay for teammates to call out other teammates? When is it okay for management to call out players through the media? You know, when can it be a good thing? When can it be a bad thing? It is an interesting question, using the media, so to speak, and when is it okay to go outside the room and voice things to try and get change and so on and
right,
so forth.
Right.
The Lightning beat the Canadiens in Montreal 1-0 in overtime. Tyler Johnson, the lone goal of the game, obviously the game winner in overtime. Ben Bishop, 19 saves in net in the win. Carey Price, 35 saves in net in the tough luck loss for Montreal. Tampa Bay improved to 3-0 against the Canadiens this season. And outscored the Habs 12-3 following this game. Tampa Bay moving 1 point behind Montreal for the top spot in the Atlantic Division. So the races for the division titles in the East and for the overall top record as well in the East certainly heating up with several teams in contention.
Absolutely. And Tampa Bay got swept by Montreal last year in the playoffs without Ben Bishop. Ben Bishop gets the shutout win here. They have, I think, won every single game this year against the Montreal Canadiens, and they've got another one coming up later in the show. They are certainly making the point that had they been healthy last year, it would have been a whole different series against the Canadiens.
Wild beat the Devils 6-1. Thomas Vanek with a pair of goals. Chris Stewart and Sean Bergenheim, a couple of guys picked up at the deadline by Minnesota, both scored goals as well. Devin Dubnyk, 25th straight start for him. He had 30 saves in the win as Minnesota was 3 points up on Winnipeg for that first wildcard spot in the West, thanks to that win. Lou Lamoriello, by the way, not on the bench for New Jersey, was in the press box for this one. So perhaps he had seen enough up close and personal and decided to turn it over to you boys, turn it over to Stevens and
Adam Oates. Scott Stevens,
things.
Adam Oates, yeah.
It's all yours, guys.
Yeah, whenever he's in Minnesota, yeah, he loves to go up there and get the Juicy Lucy's they serve up there in the press box. So he said, you guys can handle this one. I'm going to go stuff my feed hole with Juicy Lucy's.
I love feed hole. I'm not familiar with
the Juicy Lucy. Lucy is a Minnesota specialty, and it is basically two hamburger patties that they stuff with cheese and then pinch around the edges.
You've got me
so that the
sold.
Cheese,
I'm sold.
The cheese is sealed in the middle. And when I was there for the draft a few years ago, I went to two different places to get a Juicy Lucy because there's two different places that claim they have the best. So I'm like, well, I'm going to try both. And the first, you know, I sit down. It was a bar, kind of. I'm sitting at the bar. It's night. And the guy says, here you go. And he obviously knew I was a tourist because, I don't know, I just looked like a tourist. I don't know. But he said, you ever had a Juicy Lucy before? And I'm like, no, it's my first one. And he's like, well, be very careful. It's very hot. The cheese is very hot. And I'm like, okay there, Minnesota. I'm from California. I know it was lava hot. I mean, that cheese is cooking. So when you bite in, because it's trapped in there with all the steam. And so as soon as you bite in, then the steam comes out and it runs all over the burger. It's fantastic, though.
So who has the best Juicy Lucy?
I didn't have a bad one. Let's put it that way. I didn't be like, oh, well, I'm going
for first.
Yeah, they're all delicious.
All right. Blues beat the Jets 5-4. Winnipeg scored 3 goals in the third period, but unable to complete the comeback. Thanks in part to Barrett Jackman's goal from beyond the blue line. Andre Pavlik had come in relief of John Hutchinson, or not John Hutchinson, that's our teammate, of Michael Hutchinson.
Yep.
And it played very well until this point. He said afterwards that Pavlik, he lost it in the crowd.
Yep.
And he literally didn't move as the puck just floated in past him. That would end up to be the game-winning goal. 5-4, Blues beat the Jets. Vladimir Tarasenko, another goal, is 33rd. Winnipeg was, at that point, with the loss, remained 1 point up on LA for that second wildcard spot in the West.
If that goal is what keeps them out of the playoffs, and it very well could, onions for the Winnipeg Jets, because they scored 3 goals in that third period to come back and tie that game. They are less than 2 minutes away from going to overtime and getting at least 1 point with all the momentum. And it was an absolute... I mean, you talk about going back and getting the audio. I was listening to the call of that one, and they were just... It's just shock. You know, it's just, and here's the face-off, and Jackman dumps it in, and he scores!
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what the hell happened there? And as you said, Pavlik didn't move.
No.
So you think, is it? It's not one of those where he went out to
play
the
puck.
He was hoping,
okay, I saw him dump it in, and he's hoping it's going in the corner.
Right, or it hits him. I mean, just terrible, terrible luck.
And as a Kings fan, I'm now very interested in watching Winnipeg Jet games.
Yeah, you got a stake in it.
Vancouver Canuck games, Calgary Flame games, and rooting very hard for the other team. So I was watching this game and could not believe my eyes when I saw that go in, and neither could Barrett Jackman.
Yes.
He said, I'll take it.
Yeah, it was terrible, terrible loss for Andre Pavlik and the Jets. And the faces on the Jets players on the bench when they showed him was just absolute stunned disbelief of what just happened. How did we just lose that game?
Kings beat the Avalanche 5-2. Kyle Clifford with 2 goals, and Jeff Carter scored his 23rd of the year. Marion Gaborik getting his 20th. As LA moved into a tie with Calgary for third place in the Pacific Division, the Flames, though, have the tiebreaker because they have more regulation wins. And the Blue Jackets beat the Hurricanes 4-3 in a shootout. Scott Hartnell with a pair of goals. Ryan Johansson with a game winner in the shootout for Columbus.
You know, we should mention in that Avalanche game, you mentioned Varlamov left the game prior. He was not even in this game. Rito Berra played and Calvin Pickard played. Both of them got some action in this one. So Varlamov, from winning the game against the Wild to not even in the lineup against the Kings.
Wednesday, we had 3 games, including the Flames beating the Ducks 6-3. Johnny Gaudreau with a pair of goals. The rookie hits the 50-point mark as well with those 2 goals. Matt Stajan also scored twice for Calgary as the Flames moved 2 up on LA for third place in the Pacific Division and 1 point back of Vancouver for second place in the division.
What a start for the Ducks. 2 goals in 2 minutes and 51 seconds, both by Ryan Getzlaff. And then right off the cliff as the Calgary Flames took over the game from about the halfway point through the second period, or the first period, tied the game before the end of the first, dominated the second, and never looked back. And a very impressive win from Calgary, who once again is never out of a game, even if they give up 2 early goals.
Rangers beat the Capitals 3-1. JT Miller with the game-winning goal, and Cam Talbot had 28 saves in net. And the win for New York as they move 1 point up on the Islanders for first place in the Metropolitan Division. In the loss for Washington, Alexander Ovechkin did score a goal, his 45th of the year, and that gives him 45 or more goals in 7 of his 10 NHL seasons.
It's not bad.
Not bad at all.
A little bit of a consistent scorer for that guy, and that's what the guy does, is score goals, and he is very, very good at it. Very tough to stop.
And finally, the Maple Leafs beat the Sabres 4-3 in a shootout. Tyler Bozak gets a goal in regulation and the lone shootout goal for Toronto. And with that loss, Buffalo was officially eliminated from the playoffs.
And there was great celebration in Buffalo as they did not
win
the game. Have you ever seen a shootout where two teams wanted to win less? That the franchises, the players want to win, but the franchises are like, no, no.
Thursday, we had 11 games on the schedule. Let's start with the Bruins and the Lightning. Boston gets the 3-2 win in the shootout. Patrice Bergeron had a goal in regulation, also scored in the shootout, as the Bruins improved to 6-0-1 in their last seven games. Steven Stamkos did have a goal his 37th of the year. He also was ejected from this game when he broke his stick on the power play, and as he tossed the stick behind him, part of it went on the bench, the other part went into the stands. That's an automatic 10-game misconduct. And so that was 10-minute misconduct. Thank you, 10-game misconduct.
Good Lord!
10-minute misconduct. And so that was it for Steven Stamkos, even though it certainly appeared to be unintentional on his part. But I guess you still got to be responsible for your stick. The fans were actually, whoever got it was thrilled. But you don't want the injury to occur, so that was interesting. As for Boston, those 2 points helped solidify their hold on that second wildcard spot. They also moved 2 back of Washington for the first wildcard spot. So, again, at that point, looked like the Bruins finally waking up and turning into the team that we thought we would see for most of the season. Panthers beat the Jets in a big game for between two teams fighting for a wildcard spot. 4-2 was the final. Alexander Barkov gets the game-winning goal, and Derek McKenzie had a ridiculous one-handed goal in this one. We talked last week about Jeff Carter and the Kings scoring a one-handed goal. Well, the difference between these two goals is that Derek McKenzie was laying flat on his stomach, diving like Superman across the ice with his stick extended in an absolutely ridiculous goal. Dan Ellis, 18 saves, getting the win as the emergency goalie, doing a fine job for Florida as they keep pace with Boston. Still 6 points back of the playoffs, but a much-needed win for Florida to keep those hopes alive. Winnipeg, meanwhile, that loss had opened the door for L.A., to move into a playoff spot. We'll update the Kings game a little bit later on.
Yeah, devastating loss for Winnipeg on back-to-back nights, and or two back-to-back games, I should say, for them. The first one against the Blues, of course, and then to go on the road against Florida. It's not an easy game, but it's one that you got to win if you want to make the playoffs if you're the Jets. And to not even get a point in either of those games, very tough loss.
Andrew Hammond back in net for the Ottawa Senators, and they go into Montreal and beat the Canadiens 5-2. The Sens scored 3 times in the third period. Erik Karlsson with 2 goals, and Andrew Hammond improved to 8-0-1 in his career with the victory. Ottawa keeping pace with Boston, 7 points out for that second wildcard spot in the East.
Max Pacioretty ready for the Canadiens, 33 goals. He had 2 goals in this game, giving him 33 on the season. They don't have a great offense in Montreal, but he is a great offensive player and is going to be a vital key for them if they want to make a run in the playoffs.
Blues beat the Flyers 1-0 in a shootout. Brian Elliott had 28 saves in the win. Steve Mason, 35 saves in the tough luck loss. TJ Oshie and Vladimir Tarasenko each scoring in the shootout. That's a couple of tough guys to stop in the shootout. Ken Hitchcock picking up his 700th career win. He's 4th all-time in wins in NHL history. And Philadelphia, 10 points back of Boston at that point, and that was that for Philadelphia. Kings shut out the Canucks in Vancouver 4-0. Jonathan Quick only had to make 19 saves in this one. In the shutout, Marion Gabrick gets his 21st of the year. Tyler Toffoli his 20th. As LA moved into a playoff spot, 1 point up on Winnipeg for that second wildcard spot in the West. They were also tied with Calgary again for 3rd place in the Pacific. And I thought this was one of the best games the Kings had played all year. I was really surprised at the lack of intensity by the Vancouver Canucks in this one. This is obviously, you know, I think a big game in this one. Vancouver not that far ahead of LA, even though coming in, one was a playoff team and one wasn't. But the Kings, give them credit, played one of their better games of the year in this one.
What's going to make the Kings dangerous in the playoffs is their balanced scoring that they've found here in late in the season. You mentioned Toffoli now has 20 goals. Gabrick with over 20 goals. Justin Williams scored. It gives him 17, and we all know that the guy is money in the playoffs. Anje Kopitar scored to give him 14. He's had a bad offensive season, but he's doing well enough. And then, of course, they still have Jeff Carter. They have balanced scoring throughout the offense, which will make them dangerous and tough to match up against, as always, in the playoffs.
Sharks shut out the Predators 2-0. Antti Niemi, 35 saves to get that shutout win for San Jose. Tomas Hertl gets the game-winning goal as the Sharks had won 4 of 5 at that point, and they were 3 points back of a wildcard spot in the West. The Avalanche beat the Devils 2-1 in a shootout. Jerome McGinley gets the lone goal in regulation, also gets the game-winning goal in the shootout. Semyon Varlamov back in net from the injury He had 23 saves. It's Colorado, 6 points out of a playoff spot in the West. Penguins beat the Oilers 6-4. Brandon Sutter, 2 goals. Sidney Crosby gets his 23rd of the year as Pittsburgh improved to 7-1-1 in their last 9 games at that point.
I don't know if you watched this game, Ed. It was what a game to watch. The first period, Penguins get out to a 3-0 lead. You think, okay, this is going to be perhaps a boat race. Second period, they expand it to 4 goals. Edmonton then scores 4 straight goals to tie the game midway through the third period, only to have Pittsburgh score the last 2 goals and put it away. And another, just like I said, a frustrating season for the Edmonton Oilers, giving up 6 goals. But they are, I got to give them credit, like Carolina and like Ottawa, they are not giving up on the season. They're still playing hard. You can see the effort, and they're not tanking. They're not giving up on the year. They're playing. They're giving it their best. They just don't have the horses yet to compete.
Blackhawks beat the Coyotes 2-1. Brad Richards gets the game-winning goal and also picked up his 900th career point. Corey Crawford, 17 saves in net as Arizona was officially eliminated from the playoffs with that loss. Blue Jackets beat the Red Wings in Detroit 3-1. Scott Hartnell gets the game-winning goal, and Sergei Bobrovsky had 41 saves in net. And the Stars down the Hurricanes 5-3. Cody Eakin, the game-winning goal for Dallas. Moving on to Friday, 5 games on the schedule. The Senators knock off the Islanders 2-1. Kyle Turris with the game-winning goal, and Andrew Hammond back-to-back starts on back-to-back nights for Ottawa. He had 34 saves in net to improve to 9-0-1 in his career, and the Senators moved 5 points back of Boston for the second wildcard spot in the East. Ducks beat the Wild in Minnesota 2-1. Jakob Silverberg with the game-winning goal. John Gibson, 32 saves in net. Devin Dubnyk allowed 2 goals on 24 shots to take the loss. Minnesota still 3 points up on LA for that first wildcard spot in the West. Anaheim, meanwhile, picking up the 2 points, moved 2 points up on the Rangers, the Blues, the Canadiens, the Lightning, and the Predators in the race for the President's Trophy.
Yes. Unfortunately, the Ducks seem to be, for whatever reason, they've played more games than just about anybody in the league. They're way ahead. Everybody's got games in hand on them. But it's a wild race for the President's Trophy, if anybody actually wants it. A lot of people think there's a President's Trophy curse. I don't. I would love to have a President's Trophy as a Ducks fan.
Have they ever had it before?
No. And but it'd be, you know, it's a badge of honor to say you were the best team in the regular season. Now let's go into the playoffs and see what we can do. And granted, you would have home ice advantage no matter who you played in the playoffs if you have the President's Trophy in your back pocket. So I think it's of value. I hope the Ducks get it, but this was a big win, and the race for it is crazy. Going into that game, to have 6 teams tied for the top record in the league is amazing.
Flames beat the Maple Leafs 6-3. Sean Monahan with 2 goals, numbers 26 and 27. Johnny Gaudreau gets a goal as well, as 19th. As Calgary improved to 5-1-1 since Mark Giordano went down with that injury. Flames are 1 point up on Vancouver for second in the Pacific Division, and 2 points up on L.A.
Toronto on the road is a tire fire. They are 8-24-5 on the year. And, you know, when we talk about teams tanking and bad teams, you watch a Leafs game, they're not a bad team. Like, they have good players. They're just awful. You know, nobody is playing well right now on that team. And it's really sad to watch because they don't have... You can look at Philadelphia and say, okay, their defense isn't very good. You can look at Edmonton and say their defense isn't very good, and maybe they're goaltending and they don't have the depth. But Toronto has good players at every position, and they're terrible. I really am surprised at just how bad they are.
Stars beat the Capitals 4-2. Tyler Seguin gets the game-winning goal, his 32nd of the year, as Dallas scored 3 times on the power play. Washington remained 2 points up on Boston for that first wildcard spot in the East.
The Capitals have been struggling lately. They have hit a skid and don't seem to be pulling themselves out of it anytime soon. And same with Nashville. Nashville has struggled lately as well. Nashville has a huge cushion. They are going to make the playoffs. It's a matter of whether or not they win their division. Washington, if they don't pull out of this soon, could be playing their way out of the playoffs if Ottawa stays as hot as they are.
And the Blue Jackets beat the Oilers 5-4 in a shootout. Scott Hartnell, a third-period goal to tie it. And then Alexander Wenberg gets the game-winning goal in the shootout for Columbus.
His 20th goal of the year for Scott Hartnell. So that trade that they made to bring Hartnell in, send out Umberger, working out very well. One of the few bright spots for Columbus this season.
Saturday, 12 games on the schedule, including the Canucks beating the Maple Leafs 4-1. Eddie Lack, 28 saves in net. Derek Dorsett gets the game-winning goal as Vancouver reclaimed the number two spot in the Pacific Division, moving 1 point up on Calgary and another road loss for Toronto. Avalanche edged the Flames 3-2. John Mitchell gets the game-winning goal as Calgary did score two third-period goals, but this time not enough as the Avs won for the fourth time in their last five games in Colorado, 5 points out of a playoff spot at that point. For Calgary, they fall to number three in the Pacific Division. Wild beat the Blues 3-1. Nino Niederreiter with a game-winning goal, and Devan Dubnyk had 41 saves in net in his 27th consecutive start. Minnesota remains 3 points up on Winnipeg for the first wildcard spot in the West. Jets down the Lightning 2-1. Blake Wheeler gets the game-winning goal on a Victor Hedman giveaway. Andre Pavlik, 15 saves in net as Winnipeg reclaimed that second wildcard spot in the West, 1 point up on Los Angeles.
Huge win for Winnipeg and a huge comeback in the third period for them. They were down 1-0 midway through the third. Stafford scored on the power play to tie it, and then Blake Wheeler with his 20th of the year to win it. Just a huge win that they needed for the Jets.
Predators beat the Kings in L.A. 2-1. Craig Smith and Victor Stahlberg scored third-period goals a minute and 6 seconds apart. Pecorine had 23 saves in net in the win for Nashville. And this is one of those games where the Kings had just come off one of their better games of the year in Vancouver. They come home, and they just looked bad. Nashville was the better team, even though they were trailing 1-0 for most of the game. The Kings were sloppy, and it's just like, you know, you're just like, how can you go from one game a couple nights ago where you were great, and now you're back home against a good but struggling Nashville team and play like that? But that's been their season in a nutshell. Just the one great 1 minute, bad the next.
And I believe that loss, along with Winnipeg's win, changed the playoffs once again, right?
Yeah,
that knocked the Kings,
was in, Kings are
yeah,
back
Kings
out.
Are back out of the playoffs with that loss as of that game.
Blackhawks beat the Sharks in San Jose 6-2. Chicago scoring 4 third-period goals to get the win. Patrick Sharp had 2 goals as Chicago improved to 5-1-1 since Patrick Kane was lost with his injury. San Jose still 4 points out of a playoff spot, but a tough loss on home ice where they have not played well this season for the Sharks.
Yep.
Bruins beat the Penguins 2-0. Tuukka Rask had 30 saves, and Milan Lucic and Zdeno Chara scored goals. Sidney Crosby did not play in this game. He took the warm-up, but apparently was ill and couldn't go in the game. And Evgeny Malkin was hurt during this game. We'll have an update on him in the second period. Meanwhile, Boston won its 5th straight game and moved into a tie with Washington for the top wildcard spot in the East. And Washington does have a game in hand.
You buy a ticket to this game, you think, all right, I'm going to see Crosby, I'm going to see Malkin, I'm going to see Marc-Andre Fleury, or none of the three. Hard to believe that they went with Thomas Greiss. He got the loss. But I mean, when you take those three guys out of the lineup for Pittsburgh, it's very difficult to replace that much talent.
Panthers beat the Hurricanes 2-0. Dan Ellis has 27 saves in the shutout for Florida, and Brandon Perry and Dave Bolin get the goals. Panthers at that point were 6 back of Washington for the second wildcard spot in the East.
Showing the importance of depth in net, Dan Ellis comes up, gets 2 wins against one against the Jets, 1 against the Hurricanes in a shutout, picks up and does his job to keep this team in their playoff race.
Flyers boat race the Red Wings 7-2. Braden Schenn with 2 goals, and Wayne Simmonds scored his 27th of the year as Detroit dropped to 0-10 in its last 10 games in Philadelphia.
Bizarre, hard to believe.
Bizarre but true.
Yep.
And Steve Mason said, too little, too late, boys. Great game. We needed that about a week ago.
Yep.
Canadians beat the Islanders 3-1. Max Pacioretty gets the game winner, his 34th of the year, a shorthanded goal. And Carey Price had 35 saves in net. Montreal moved into a tie with the Rangers for the top spot in the East, both with 93 points. The Rangers beat the Sabres 2-0. Mackenzie Sapsky, 20 saves in net. He gets his first NHL shutout. Keith Yandle gets the game-winning goal, his first goal as a New York Ranger. And the Rangers improved to 14-2-3 since Henrik Lundqvist went out with an injury.
Nobody
just as
would
we
have
all
thought
fun.
That. Yeah, right. I mean, unbelievable. And for Montreal, that win over the Islanders have been struggling lately. And I don't want to say they're going back to the way we thought they would be, but it was such a dream season. You wonder if the clock has struck midnight on their Cinderella run or if they can refine the magic before they enter the playoffs.
And finally on Saturday, the Devils beat the Coyotes 4-1. Steven Gionta with the game-winning goal. Mike Camilleri gets his 25th of the year. And Corey Schneider had 30 saves in net.
And we had a Jordan Tutu sighting as he scored a goal.
He's not playing bad. Actually.
No, I mean, the
when
Devils
watch the highlights, he's actually in the middle of a lot of things.
They've got to look, the Devils are the oldest team I've ever seen in NHL. They are ridiculous. When I watch that team, I'm like, man, I forgot that guy was even in the league. And yet there he is. Scott Gomez, you know, my God, he's still in the league. And but they play hard and they are, you know, it's not a terrible team, but they just, they're old and they don't have the depth and the high caliber players to get the job done.
Sunday, we had 7 games on the schedule. The Capitals blanked the Bruins 2-0. Braden Holtby with 32 saves in net. John Carlson and Nate Schmidt scoring goals as Washington moved 2 points up on Boston for that first wildcard spot in the East.
Yes, huge win for Washington to get their winning streak or their losing streak snapped and get back on the winning side of things. And to get those 2 points in regulation against Boston, very important for their seeding.
Senators win again. They beat the Flyers 2-1 in a shootout. Bobby Ryan gets the game winner in the shootout, and Andrew Hammond had 27 saves. Also stopped all 3 shooters to improve to 10-0-1 in his career. Ottawa, meanwhile, 5 points back of Boston for the second wildcard spot. And as for Andrew Hammond, he's allowed 2 goals or fewer in each of his first 11 career starts. That is the second longest streak of its kind in NHL history. Frank Brimsek holds the record 12 straight games to start his career back in 1938-39.
That's not bad. Anytime you're mentioned with Frank Brimsek, that's good company right there. But did you see what happened after the game, Ed?
Was that the hamburger being thrown on the ice?
Somebody threw the hamburger on the ice, and the hamburger, as he is known to do, went and scooped it up and took it off the ice with him.
He said he didn't eat it because it was cold. But
I would imagine
I did read a story where McDonald's has given him a card, free food for life. I don't know if the burgers come with meat or not. I can't answer that, but he has. They're trying to get in on this, obviously. Why wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, they've got the Hamburglar on the side. And it's right. Funny, the Hamburglar's made a resurgence recently because you see that woman on the news?
No.
In Missouri, I believe, somewhere. There was a woman wearing a black and white striped shirt, vertical striped shirt.
Okay.
And the guy, she's doing traffic or something. And the other anchor says, now let's get a check on traffic. Let's toss it over to the Hamburglar. And they cut over to her, and she is not amused. And she's just looking back at him with shooting daggers.
Oh, come on, honey.
Yeah.
Lighten
well,
up, toots.
A couple days later, they give her – she's wearing a completely different outfit. They toss to the Hamburglar once again. She's again not amused, but out comes the actual Hamburglar with a huge tray of hamburgers that they then proceeded to throw at her. I don't know about that.
Huh.
But he's back in demand right now. McDonald's ought to capitalize on this.
Well, in Ottawa, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are.
Oh, for sure.
We had the Rangers beating the Panthers 2-1. Matt Hunwick with the game winner. James Shepherd gets his first goal as a Ranger. He came over at the deadline from, I believe, San Jose. Cam Talbot, 38 saves in net. He had a great week, did Cam Talbot. We talked about earlier holding down the fort. He's actually being one of the 3 stars of the night for him on
three
a lot of nights
of the week.
Recently.
Yeah.
And, again, the Rangers get the win. Tough loss for Florida as they remain 6 points back of Boston in that race for the second wildcard spot in the East. Ducks beat the Predators 4-2. Anaheim rallied from down 2-0 to score 4 times in the third period. Nate Thompson got the game winner, and Anaheim moved 2 points up on Nashville for the top spot in the Western Conference.
If Anaheim plays Calgary in the playoffs, those third periods are going to be wild because the Ducks are terrible in the second period. They gave up 2 goals in this game. They're absolutely atrocious in the second period all season long. But, boy, in the third period, they're fantastic. And this was no different. Once the momentum, once the catch-up starts flowing, the whole bottle comes out.
Blues shut out the Stars 3-0. St. Louis scored 3 goals in the third period. As Jake Allen was in net, he had 28 saves in the shutout win. Vladimir Tarasenko picks up another goal, his 34th of the year. And St. Louis moved into a tie with Nashville for the top spot in the Central Division, each with 93 points. St. Louis does have 1 more regulation win, so that little streak or slide from Nashville
brought them back to the pack.
That's right. The Blues have taken advantage of that.
St. Louis, if they play their cards right, they can lose to the Kings in the first round for the 5th time in the last 5 years or whatever it is.
Blues fans right now are like, you bastard.
They can't avoid Chicago and L.A. in the playoffs, and those are the 2 teams that are their kryptonite.
Red Wings beat the Penguins 5-1. Timo Pulkkinen with 2 goals, and Marek Zidlicki, who's looked very good since coming over at the deadline, scored a goal as well. Peter Mrazek in net getting the win for Detroit, and that's a couple of back-to-back tough losses for Pittsburgh, which is when they started to look like they were playing a little bit better.
Right, but the, obviously without Crosby again in this
Crosby
one.
Did play in this game.
Oh, he did play.
He did play.
Malkin did not play, no. And Fleury was back in net, though he was replaced at some point. You mentioned Zdlicky, and I have to think, of all the trade deadline acquisitions, he has been the one that has been the most effective since he came over. He's playing good defense, and he's scoring timely goals for this team. He's been a perfect fit with Detroit since he got traded to them from New Jersey. Just a great trade by Ken Holland.
And finally on Sunday, we had the Hurricanes edging the Blue Jackets 3-2. Brad Malone with the game-winning goal for Carolina. Finally on Monday, we had four games on the schedule, including the Kings getting by the Coyotes 1-0. Jonathan Quick with 25 saves and Andy Andreoff with his first career NHL goal. That was the only goal of the game and obviously the game winner. L.A. moved back into a wild card spot, 1 point up on Winnipeg, and tied with Calgary for third in the Pacific. But once again, the Flames do hold the tiebreaker. Capitals beat the Sabres 4-3 in a shootout. Evgeny Kuznetsov had a goal in regulation and the shootout as well. Curtis Glencross, who's playing pretty well since coming over from Calgary, scored a goal, his fourth since joining the team. And Washington moved 4 points up on Boston for that number one wild card spot in the East. Lightning down the Canadiens 4-2. Steven Stamkos scored a pair of goals, numbers 38 and 39 on the year. Victor Hedman gets the game winner. Tampa Bay 4-0 against Montreal this season. And they have got to say they're tied now, by the way, with 91 points.
I got to say that I think it's a rare team that wants Montreal in the playoffs. I think Tampa Bay is champing at the bit to get another chance at the Canadiens.
Why wouldn't they be?
They want that
They've
team.
Dominated them this
yes.
year.
But I mean, after getting swept last year, they have got business to settle with that team. And I think that would be a matchup Tampa Bay would relish.
Did you see the Max Pacioretty assist on one of the Stamkos goals?
I did not.
He was skating up the ice. I think it was a 4-on-4 situation. And Stamkos had been trailing the play. And it was just for a split second of thinking, I've got a teammate behind me. Oh, no, I don't. I just passed it to the one guy I don't want to give it to, who went all alone on Carey Price, who had pretty much no chance, and he blasted it right by him. It happens every once in a while. You see a guy out of the corner of your eye, you think it's a teammate, and by the time you've done it, it's too late, and you've realized it. But
what have I done?
Yeah, that's... Oh,
Pacioretty's been pretty good for him, so I think they can let that one go. But yeah, that's a tough one for him.
And finally, on Monday, we had the Oilers beating the Maple Leafs 4-1. Benoit Pouliot with two goals, and Ben Scrivens had 29 saves in net in the win for Edmonton as another road loss for Toronto.
You know why this was in? I wanted to mention something about this. This is a quote.
No, I don't.
This is my all-time low in hockey right now. It's a tough go. Who said that, Ed? After that game.
Dion Phaneuf.
Phil Kessel. Has hit rock bottom as a hockey player, according to him. He said, obviously, that was a brutal start, and you're not going to win any games in this league falling down 4-0. It's tough. We're still working. No, you're not. We're still trying. No, you're not. It's just a tough time for us. We have good players in here. That's true. We still have really good players. That's true. We're just not getting it done. Also true. Man, I cannot believe the absolute disaster that the Maple Leafs have become. Looking back when they fired Randy Carlyle and they were in a playoff position, and now they are just abysmal every single night. And the thing that I don't understand is the glee that Maple Leafs fans seem to be taking in this team's failure. Every loss is like, oh good, we've lost again. You're not going to get Eichel or McDavid. You getting better chances in the lottery, certainly, and maybe you'll win the lottery, but the chances are better that you don't win the lottery and you're not going to get one of those two players and you're going to go for another good player that will not be that franchise-changing forward or defenseman. But we will see what happens in the lottery. But, man, it's been bad in Toronto.
All right, so that was the week that was on the ice in the NHL.
The week and then some. Let's get to the standings as they stand right now.
I believe we have 20, if I counted correctly, 26 days left in the NHL regular season. Where are the standings as we speak?
Let's start in the Eastern Conference. You mentioned the Atlantic Division is getting a little tight. Thanks to Tampa Bay being 4-0 against the Montreal Canadiens, those two teams are tied with 93 points on the year. The Montreal Canadiens right now have the tiebreaker purely because they have played one less game. But other than that, they are exactly the same. Detroit is 6 points behind them with 87 points for third place in the Atlantic. In the Metropolitan Division, the Rangers have opened up a 5-point lead on the New York Islanders. They have 95 points to lead the entire NHL. They are tied with the Ducks in that regard, but they have the tiebreaker in regulation and overtime wins, and they have 3 games in hand on the Ducks. So the Rangers, unbelievable season from them. 5 straight wins, 95 points. Islanders are in second with 90 points. Third place is the Penguins with 88 points. Your 2 wild card teams in the East right now are Washington out of the Metropolitan Division with 86 points and the Boston Bruins in the Atlantic Division with 82 points. Washington is only 2 points behind Pittsburgh for that third seed in the Metropolitan Division, so that could still be up for grabs, and Pittsburgh could fall down into a wild card position. Boston would have to get 5 points. They're 5 points behind the Detroit Red Wings for the third spot in the Atlantic Division. The only team, in my opinion, that has a chance of catching either Boston or Washington, well, it would be Boston at this point, would be the Ottawa Senators. They have 77 points, and it's still a very long way to go for them, but they have 14 games left to do it, and they have 1 game. So you've got 1 game in hand against Boston and a game against Boston head-to-head. So if you win both of those in regulation, you will get yourself, now you're only 1 point down with about, 10 games to play. So we can see what happens with the Ottawa Senators. It should be an interesting playoff race in the East.
The playoff matchups, if the season were to end today, a little bit different than last week. The Capitals would face the Canadiens. We got the Red Wings against the Lightning, Rangers against the Bruins, and the Islanders against the Penguins.
Not bad at all. Not the ideal matchups if you could draw them up, but not bad at all. Especially that Penguins-Islanders would be a very fun series to watch, as we saw a couple years ago. In the Western Conference, we start in the Central Division, where the St. Louis Blues now are leading it, even though they're tied with the Nashville Predators. Both have 93 points, but St. Louis has 2 games in hand on Nashville. So they are technically in first place right now. Nashville in second with 93. 5 points behind them are the Chicago Blackhawks with 88 points. In the Pacific Division, it is the Ducks with 95 points. 13 points ahead of the Vancouver Canucks with 82 points, who are 1 point ahead of the Calgary Flames with 81 points, who are tied with the LA Kings with 81 points. But LA is currently in a wild card position due to the regulation and overtime wins. Calgary has the tiebreaker in that regard. Minnesota, the other wild card team right now with 83 points. On the outside looking in, the only team with a realistic chance of making the playoffs, in my opinion, is the Winnipeg Jets. 1 point out of the playoffs right now. 1 point behind the Kings for that last wild card spot. 3 points behind the Minnesota Wild for their wild card spot as well. So a lot to be determined in the Western Conference.
If the playoffs were to start today, the Ducks would face the Kings in the first round. We would have the Canucks against the Flames. Blues against the Wild, so Minnesota would actually, well, of course,
or St. Louis would avoid the Blackhawks and Kings, at
Of course,
least.
They would have to take on one of the hottest teams, but yep. I think they'd probably take that matchup.
Yep.
And the Predators would face the Blackhawks.
So good matchups, but still a lot to be determined with only about 10 to 12 games, depending on your favorite team left in the season. And it's going to be a fun run to the playoffs. There's something good to watch every single night with playoff implications, either in standings or in playoff berths. What was your Grandma Fiddler game of the week? We never heard it. Nothing?
There were so many to choose from that I couldn't pick just one.
All right.
For high-quality, professional-style hockey jerseys, your best choice is Tally Hockey Jerseys. At Tally Hockey Jerseys, we only use the highest quality twill letters and numbers when customizing jerseys for teams. We take special pride in creating cool and unique crests for teams from all over the world. Tally Hockey Jerseys offers 14 jersey designs that combine classic design details with today's performance fabrics. All Tally Hockey Jerseys have throwback design details, just like the best and most expensive throwback jerseys, minus the high price. All 14 styles of Tally Hockey jerseys are only $49 per jersey. That includes a jersey with your team's custom crest, as well as your name and number in double layer or single layer twill, depending on your jersey style. If you're interested in ordering 12 or more jerseys for your team, but don't have a team crest design, no problem. Tally Hockey Jerseys will design one for you for free. If you need jerseys for a team and want a cool crest but don't want to order 12 jerseys, ask about our stock crest. For more information or to place an order, contact Dave at tallyhockeyjerseys.com. And don't forget to check out our Facebook page to see hundreds of pictures of custom crests we've created for other teams. That's Tally Hockey Jerseys, T-A-L-L-Y, Hockey Jerseys.
Time for the second period here on the Puck Podcast, and let's get you updated on the ER report. Injuries, obviously, so important at this time of year.
Indeed.
Bad news for the Calgary Flames, as they officially announced that defenseman Ladislav Smead is done for the rest of the season with a neck injury. He hadn't played since January the 19th when he was hit into the boards from behind by Simone Desprez, at that time of the Pittsburgh Penguins. So they have been playing without him for a while, but no chance to get Ladislav Smead back to help out for a stretch run or possibly the playoffs. Tampa Bay Lightning going to be without defenseman Braden Coburn for 4 to 6 weeks due to a lower body injury. He was just picked up at the trade deadline from Philadelphia in exchange for a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and Radko Gudas. Appeared in just 4 games for the Lightning and had 2 assists. According to Joe Smith of the Tampa Bay Times, Coburn's injury is unrelated to a broken foot that he had earlier in the season. Bolt's also going to be without forward Andre Palat for 2 to 3 weeks. He suffered a lower body injury blocking a shot in Tampa's win over Montreal on Tuesday. Also, forward Cedric Paquette expected to miss 10 to 14 days with an upper body injury.
Now's the time to miss games and get people healthy for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
New York Islanders defenseman Nick Leddy going to be sidelined for about 2 weeks. He was hurt in a win over Toronto earlier in the week following a collision with Morgan Rielly. Leddy was among the top blue liners for New York in points and ice time. And we'll have more Nick Leddy news coming up later in the second
period. We will?
We will.
Hot damn.
I'm glad you're excited about that. New York Rangers announced that forward Martin St. Louis could miss up to 2 weeks with a lower body injury. St. Louis is believed to have suffered a right knee injury against the Panthers. The 39-year-old veteran has 20 goals and 47 points in 68 games this year. Also for the Rangers, defenseman Kevin Klein is going to be out 3 to 4 weeks due to an upper body injury sustained when he was struck in the left arm by a shot from Alexander Ovechkin. Klein has played well this season, 9 goals, 17 assists, plus 24 in 65 games this season. Pittsburgh Penguins have lost forwards Evgeny Malkin and Patrick Hornquist. Malkin, who was hurt over the weekend, is going to be out 7 to 14 days with an undisclosed injury. Hornquist will be out for at least a week, also with an undisclosed injury he suffered in that loss to Detroit. Hornquist tied for second on the team in goals and appeared to suffer a hand injury in that game against the Red Wings. So those are the injury
news. We have breaking news, Ed.
We have breaking news.
Let's hear the sound effect.
Auga, auga, breaking news, breaking news, auga.
Florida Panthers beat writer George Richards says on Twitter that Roberto Luongo is back on the ice for the morning skate tonight after hurting his shoulder for the first time since that injury. So potentially we could see Roberto Luongo back in net for the Florida Panthers as they try and keep themselves in the playoff hunt.
All right. Those were the injury news involving playoff teams. There were some other injury news involving notes involving non-playoff teams, so we will tell you those. Flyers forward R.J. Umberger, surgery on his right hip and abdomen, done for the season. 39-year-old had 9 goals and 15 points this season. Of course, we talked about the trade where he came over for Scott Hartnell. Umberger's got 2 years remaining on a five-year, $23 million contract. He's 32 years old. Also for the Flyers, defenseman Michael Delzato going to miss 7 to 10 days with an upper body injury. He's got 9 goals and 26 points this season. Toronto Maple Leafs defenseman Roman Polak, done for the season. He's going to have hernia surgery. He appeared in 56 games for the Leafs this year at 5 goals and 9 points. And Stefan Robida, season-ending shoulder surgery. Both those players are under contract for next season. Robida's deal extends to the 2017 season. Talked about the breaking news, Roberto Luongo getting ready to come back, as far as some other players who returned to the ice this week. After missing roughly a month and a half due to a detached retina that he had surgery for, Islanders forward Kyle Okposo returned on Tuesday. He's got 14 goals and 44 points in 46 games this season. Islanders went 12-7-3 with him out of the lineup, but I'm sure they're happy to have him back. Anaheim Ducks forward Matt Beleski returned to the lineup this week after missing 13 games due to a shoulder injury he suffered on February the 15th. Beleski's in the final year of a two-year, $2.7 million deal, set to become an unrestricted free agent after this season. Vancouver Canucks welcomed back defenseman Kevin Bieksa and Chris Tenev. Bieksa returned from a broken hand that he suffered on January the 20th. He had missed the last 21 games. Tenev returned from a concussion that he suffered on February the 14th. And defenseman Zbigniew Michalak made his Blues debut this week. Of course, St. Louis acquired him at the trade deadline from Arizona. He hadn't played since February the 15th due to a concussion. Let's get to the law and order portion of the show. We had one on-ice suspension this week. That came from Joakim Nordstrom of the Chicago Blackhawks, suspended for 2 games for a hit from behind on Coyotes defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson. That was on Thursday. Nordstrom received a minor penalty for boarding on the play. He forfeits $6,630.82 in salary with that suspension.
That's it? For a 2-game suspension, he's only making $6,000?
That's what it says.
Wow. Not like that's paltry, but you know what I mean. Usually it's a lot more per game than for these NHL players.
And an off-the-ice suspension, as Toronto Maple Leafs president Brendan Shanahan held an impromptu news conference this week and fired a warning shot, not literally, at Nazem Kadri, announcing the 24-year-old...
The next one's right at your head.
announcing the 24-year-old forward would sit the next 2 games as a healthy scratch. Kadri had already missed 1 game. Following missing a team meeting because he overslept. According to Shanahan, the incident is not isolated. Shanahan said, quote, there's a history here. Incidents like this won't be tolerated. He needs to look in the mirror and decide when he wants to, where he wants to go in his career. End quote. He also, I believe, said he needs to grow up. Kadri was the 7th overall pick in 2009. 16 goals, 36 points in 64 games this season. For the Maple Leafs, and he said that message received.
Yep. Well,
and he's moving forward.
When he said he needs to figure out where he wants to go in his career, I thought Kadri replied, I want to go to the playoffs, so whenever you want to trade me, by all means. No, this is the perfect time for the Maple Leafs to send these messages to the players, the young players, that you've got to work hard, you've got to show up, you've got to be accountable, and we're not going to accept anything less because there are no ramifications. You could have suspended him for a week and a half, and it would have had the same impact on your team as far as their on-ice performance and in the standings. There is going to be, I think next week, we may even talk about a different on-ice suspension for Nazem Kadri as he had a dangerous hit in last night's game.
Money update. We told you we had some more Johnny Boychuk news. Doug was very
excited. You said
Nick
Leddy.
Did I say Nick Leddy?
Yeah. That's why I was like, oh, goody. I love Nick Leddy news.
Really?
Yes.
Looking at my notes.
I'm telling you said Nick Leddy.
Well, it's the other guy.
Oh, for God's sake. You've lied to me.
Johnny Boychuk, the defenseman for the Islanders, signed a 7-year, $42 million contract extension with the Islanders. 31-year-old would have been an unrestricted free agent this summer. The Islanders acquired him from Boston on October 4th in exchange for a couple of second-round picks and a conditional third-round pick. Boychuk has 7 goals and 25 assists for 32 points, including a plus-17 rating in 59 games. The signing to the new deal, in reacting to the signing of the new deal, Boychuk said, quote, ever since I came to the Islanders, the organization has been incredible to both me and my family. I'm proud to be an Islander and look forward to competing every night in front of such a passionate fan base for many years to come. End quote. In February, the Islanders also agreed on a 7-year, $38 million extension with Nick Leddy.
There you
go. Good news for Islander fans. Of course, to get some guys locked up. And to get guys saying they want to be there, a change of culture hopefully going on for them, moving into a new building, so hopefully progress.
Yeah, I hope Boychuk and Leddy did not buy homes out on that side of Long Island, a little bit closer to Brooklyn, where they're going to be playing next year, and that money will buy them a very nice place in the hipster neighborhood of Brooklyn, no doubt about it. But it's a bit long for my liking, because he is already 31, and this is going to take him into his 38 years, but... You got to do it for the short term. You got to do it as a franchise to send the message to your fans that we're committed to these guys that we got great deals on before the season because of 2 teams that were in salary cap hell. They took advantage of them. They've been able to retain them. Very good job by Garth Snow as the GM of the Islanders to get those guys and then keep them long term.
One other signing, the Florida Panthers signed defenseman Steve Kampfer to a 2-year extension. The 26-year-old was set to become a restricted free agent at the end of the year. Florida acquired him from the Rangers in October. He's got a goal, 3 assists to go along with about 18 minutes of ice time in 18 games with the Panthers this season. He's also appeared in 42 games in the AHL with San Antonio, 8 goals and 19 points in the AHL.
He had a lot of potential once upon a time, and he finally is settling into being a good NHL player right now. So I liked that signing for the Panthers, and I think he's going to be a good depth guy for him for years to come. The Ducks also made a signing of a draft pick from a couple years ago, as Brandon Montour has been signed to an entry-level contract. He was a second-round pick in 2014. So in a couple years, he'll be beating the Kings, and you can say, damn that guy.
Well, some interesting team news involving the San Jose Sharks that got a lot of people talking this week. In a candid Q&A, question and answer, with Sharks season ticket holders this past week, San Jose GM Doug Wilson provided a glimpse into the organization's reasoning for taking Joe Thornton's captaincy away last summer, saying in part, quote, "He cares about the game so much. The reason we took the C off him, Joe carries the weight of the team on his shoulders. And he's got such a big heart that when stress comes on him, he lashes out at people. It kind of impacts them. The pressure and the stress I felt was getting to Joe. And I sat down with him and said we needed other players to step up and share this. He got it. He didn't like it, but he got it and he understood," end quote. When reporters told Thornton what his GM had said, Thornton responded by saying, quote, "I think Doug needs to shut his mouth."
Me?
No, Doug Wilson.
Oh.
"I think that's the bottom line. All I have to say is I've been here every day working hard. I haven't taken a sabbatical. He just needs to stop lying and shut his mouth," end quote. Wilson then responded to Thornton's response.
Yeah, the reporters then ran back up to Wilson.
By saying, quote, "If he's got an issue, he knows exactly where I am, and I'll be glad to talk to him about it. There's zero issue here. I was asked a question at a season ticket holder function, and my response was to do my job and be accountable to our season ticket holders and tell the truth. It's nothing I haven't said before," end quote. Of course, Thornton inherited the C from Rob Blake back in 2010. He spent 4 years as the team's captain.
He got it from Rob Blake? Wasn't Patrick Marleau the captain?
No, remember they took it away from him as well.
To give it to Rob Blake?
I think, yeah, that's right.
Okay, so they've got two guys that they've stripped of the C on that team, both with no trade clauses. And, you know, I was talking to some people around here about this, and they were saying, what do you think the odds are that Thornton is there next year? And I said, about 90%, because it's up to him. He has a no trade clause, and if he likes playing in San Jose, he will be in San Jose next year, period. What do I think the chances are that Doug Wilson is in San Jose next year? About 60%. Somebody's getting fired at the end of this season. The Sharks' season has been a disaster. They're going to miss the playoffs for the first time in quite a while.
Their season ticket sales were down a bit this year, as some of the fans are getting a little bit fed up with what they're seeing.
Yeah, and it hasn't been a good run. They don't really have a goalie for next season. Niemi is an unrestricted free agent after this year. They haven't given enough time to Alex Stalock to really know what they have in him going forward. So there's a lot of uncertainty going into the offseason, but Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton control their own fate. If they don't want to be traded, they will not be traded. They have to agree to the trade because of their no trade clause, which that's on Doug Wilson. He gave it to him, and we will see what happens.
We talked about Brendan Shanahan sending the message to Nazem Kadri through the media, kind of a public shaming, so to speak. Now, Doug Wilson wasn't talking to the media when he was talking to these season ticket holders, but media people were present. I don't know if he knew that or not. I think you have to kind of assume that they were going to be there on the record. Exactly. So he wasn't necessarily going through the media and taking a shot, if you want to perceive it that way, at Joe Thornton. Thornton certainly wasn't shy in responding.
Clearly, there's a bad relationship between the two.
Well, I think Joe Thornton feels like he's gotten his share of the blame for what's going wrong there, and probably has had a little bit of enough of it. You know, they talk about we want the shared leadership. Well, maybe he says, "How about sharing some of the blame as well?" Right.
Yeah.
Instead of just pointing the finger at me. So I'm sure the conspiracy theorist people out there would say maybe this is Wilson trying to get Thornton to say, "I don't want to be here anymore," maybe waive that no trade clause. I certainly don't think there was that level of thought that went into this. But there are people out there who love to look at things like that and wonder there's an underlying
messenger. In a separate story I saw, they've moved Joe Thornton's parking space to the farthest corner of the parking lot. Yes, terrible. And
behind SJ Sharkey?
Well behind. Yeah.
That's not going to sit well.
No. So he's got that one. And they're making it as hard as possible for him. His wake up call is always canceled at the hotel. So they want him late for team meetings so they can suspend him. No, look, they want him to play well. They want him to be a great player for them. They want to win games. They're not trying to sabotage the team here or get this guy out of here. Plus, by saying that, you're not exactly helping his trade value. You know, this is a guy that pressure really gets to him and eats him up. He starts lashing out. He can't take that. Doug Wilson wants to put him in the best position to succeed, I think. And Joe Thornton is, like you said, I think tired of getting the heat for the past few years, even in San Jose, a place that is not a media hotbed, but still has the fans demand a certain level of success, and they're not getting it. And he's taken on a lot of the blame over the years, as have Patrick Marleau.
Do you look at either response? Do you think, and again, they're human beings, obviously, but do you think Joe Thornton, being a seasoned professional that he is, would have been better served to say, you know, hey, we handle this stuff in-house. I'm not talking about it on the media. And then after Doug Wilson gets the response, maybe him saying, okay, you know, look, I said what I said, but we're not going to escalate this any further. I'm not commenting on this.
Yeah, but I don't think Joe Thornton didn't bring it up. He had this brought to him.
I know,
him
but you
say,
know
but
the
saying,
code of
I know,
the room.
I know,
that.
But what I'm saying is it's already been aired in public. He's already put the accusation out there that you couldn't handle the pressure of being the Sharks captain, and you had to give it up because it was too much for you. So to not respond and say, I'll handle this internally, that certainly would have been the high road, but I don't blame Joe Thornton for lashing out in frustration and saying, why doesn't he just shut his mouth? And by the way, if we can get that soundbite, it'd be a great soundbite to have anybody wants to tell me to shut my mouth.
We'll try and we could get a great John Tortorella one, I'm sure we've got that on.
But I mean, specifically,
somewhere.
I think Doug needs to shut his
mouth. Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's what we need.
That's good.
We need Eddie.
Friend of the show, David Pollock, was the one who was in on this interview and reported this, so maybe he's got some audio of that. Yeah. I'm not sure, but I lost my train of thought.
Him lashing out is perfectly understandable, in my opinion. It had already been made public, and it would have been very noble of him to go say, I'm going to handle this in private, but I don't blame him for responding in the same manner that it was accused of him.
As a Kings partial season ticket holder and a San Diego Chargers season ticket holder, I do find it kind of refreshing, and I mean, I kind of like the fact that the GM is holding some sort of a forum with those people and is being pretty honest.
Yeah.
Not just giving the party line, pretty forthcoming. I mean, there's it's a part of me kind of like that as well, but it was a little unexpected to hear him, I guess, kind of say
What I don't understand is you're telling me David Pollock and no other reporter in San Jose has ever asked that question. So why is the answer different now? You know, back when it happened, why did you make the decision to remove the C from Joe Thornton? You're telling me that wasn't, if that's the truth and you have a responsibility to your season ticket holders to speak the truth, then why wasn't that the answer given then? So I find the timing of it is very convenient from Doug Wilson, let's put it that way, that he suddenly decides, I'm going to be honest about this. The Ducks have had things like this, and Bob Murray has been very honest with fans as well and forthright in talking to him about stuff and kind of explaining why they made certain moves and different positions. But it's great because the fans are your paying customers, and they deserve some straight answers. You know, if they have questions, and unless it's something that's going to injure the team in the future and somehow hamper their success, why wouldn't you give them a straight answer?
Moving on, the new Arizona Coyotes ownership group on Friday gave an update on the team's financial status, reporting its fiscal year one losses to the city of Glendale at $16.458 million. If you include one-time acquisition and closing costs, which is $7.878 million, along with the complete amount of Mike Ribeiro's buyout, which is $10.495 million, that brings the total operating loss to $34.831 million. That figure counts towards the team's oft-mentioned out clause, which can be exercised within a 180-day window after 5 years and allows the team to leave Arizona if it reaches or exceeds $50 million in losses. The $50 million threshold is not an automatic trigger for the out clause. There are other determining factors as well. And the ownership group, in announcing these numbers, basically said these aren't numbers that we didn't anticipate. And, you know, going forward, we know that You know, basically, we're going to have to lose money first before we make money. So they were saying all the right things. But of course, anytime you have that $50 million threshold and the clause that they can maybe get out and leave when they report these types of things, certain media outlets are obviously going to jump on this and want to, not saying it isn't news, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, always looking to try and get the Coyotes out of Arizona.
Again, but if there is an expansion team after this coming season, in time for the 2016 season, then that money will go, you know, 1/30 of that expansion fee will go into their pockets and will certainly help their operating expenses as well. So while they're not having a great year on the ice, as you said, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of extenuating circumstances that led to that number being more inflated than it was, that should not continue next year.
Some league news and the I don't know, biannual, whatever, the latest round of GM meetings are going on right now in Boca Raton, Florida.
Always an odd location. I wonder why they don't do it in Edmonton. At least they'd be in the hotel, you know, you going to go outside? It's 20 below out there. No, I'm going to stay in here and let's talk.
Pack the polo shirts, boys, or going to Florida again.
Yep.
But we'll recap those meetings on next week's show. There was some history made this week in the NHL. On Monday in Detroit, Red Wings against the Oilers, a 33-year-old former KHL defenseman was on the ice as an official. Yevgeny Romanenko, first Russian-born referee in NHL history. He had officiated in the KHL for several seasons, recently worked more than 30 AHL games to kind of familiarize himself with the North American style before making the jump to the NHL.
If it's an international game with the players, it should be with the referees as well. We want the best in the world at all positions. No reason that they shouldn't be bringing in guys from all over the world. So good for him.
Some other league news, we're talking about the American Hockey League. We talked about this a little bit last week, but two more relocations officially announced by the AHL. Winnipeg Jets affiliate St. John's Ice Caps are going to move to Winnipeg after four seasons outside of Manitoba, replacing the Ice Caps in St. John's will be the Hamilton Bulldogs, which are affiliated with the Canadiens. Montreal bought the franchise, and the relocated squad will inherit the Ice Caps name. So there's still going to be a St. John's Ice Caps. There's going to be now a team in Manitoba. We assume somewhere in Winnipeg. As far as the Hamilton Bulldogs, they'll still exist, but not in the AHL. An Ontario Hockey League team is moving to Hamilton. The Belleville Bulls have been bought and will be moving to Hamilton. So
the shuffle continues.
Yes, exactly. All these moves will be official for the 2015-2016 season. Also, the Stockton Thunder are no more. They have been renamed, rebranded. The Calgary Flames, of course, that's now their AHL affiliate.
Yep.
And they are now the Stockton Heat.
Oh, no.
With uniforms very similar to, I assume, the Abbotsford Heat.
I would hope not the Miami Heat. Tank top.
So I actually liked the Stockton Thunder's logo.
Loved it. I may have to get one of those before they go out.
That was one of your logos you had. Remember you had the list in the offseason? So, yeah, get it while you can.
Yeah. Well, I better get on it. If they send me an email that says it's shipped, I won't believe it till I get it.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. I really liked the Stockton Thunder logo and the color scheme, everything.
Some player news. Douglas Murray apparently getting another shot at the NHL.
Oh, no. What GM has suffered a kick to the head from a mule?
Brad Treliving?
Yeah, the Flames.
35-year-old veteran defenseman was brought in by the Flames on a tryout. Murray spent last season in Montreal, appeared in 53 games and 3 playoff games, but was unable to get an NHL contract this season. Had spent some time in the German league. Murray's a veteran of over 500 NHL games and 75 playoff games. If he is signed, though, he will not be eligible for the playoffs this year.
Right, because he will have been signed after the trade deadline. But, boy, I know you got Giordano and Spezza out, but has it come to that? There's nobody else in the AHL that can be called up? Oof.
And a final random shot, a little odd note from this week. You talked about maybe getting a Stockton Thunder jersey. Perhaps
Certainly.
You would also like to get the Buffalo Sabres golden blue third jersey, because they will be no more after this season. Remember, they unveiled it a couple years ago to not rave reviews.
The one where it's different color on the front and back?
Yes, those jerseys will be worn for the last time during this season, and they have decided that they're not going to continue it. But I can assure you there'll be people that will wear those jerseys. We still see the Burger King jerseys in Kings games. They become... The ugly jerseys become then the weird, unique
the cool jerseys
later on.
The fisherman jersey for the Islanders, that kind of thing. I don't get it personally, but I would never wear the Wild Wing jumping out of the ice jersey to a Ducks game. I have it, but I would never wear it to a Ducks game because I don't think it looks very good. It looks ridiculous. So
it's just in the closet hanging there.
Yeah, right? It's there for... You know, for jokes and when I need a jersey that I don't mind spilling barbecue sauce on or something like that. But regardless, I think the Sabres, and maybe somebody would know better than me, I think they've had more jersey looks and combinations over the last 10, 15 years than any other team in the NHL by far. One of my favorite jerseys of theirs is that red one with the cross Sabres. And that's been a long time gone. And they had the Buffalo head on there when the Dominik Hasek years, those were great. Then they went with the banana slug or whatever the thing that was.
Right.
And you're like, what's going on with this team? They have a different look every single year.
Well, the product on the ice isn't great, so they're trying to shake things up with that. So, unfortunately for those.
Well, I will not be buying one of those. A Stockton Thunder jersey might have to be purchased, but no Buffalo Sabres two-tone jersey.
If you own a business or work for one that you'd like to help grow, you owe it to yourself to learn more about the power of promotional marketing. Market research shows that promotional marketing items, used properly, have the lowest cost per impression of any marketing media, lower than TV, radio, or internet advertising. By strategically redirecting a portion of your marketing resources, you can use the power of promotional marketing to break through the clutter and directly target your highest value sales prospects. More importantly, promotional products can help you both retain your current customers and increase your revenue per customer. Contact friend of the show, Tim O'Neill, tim@imagemasters.com, to schedule a free phone consultation to see if promotional marketing strategies have a place in your marketing mix. Your company is already spending the money on marketing. Why not tap into Tim's 25 years of experience as a marketing communications professional to see if that investment could be producing better returns? Image Masters, smarter marketing, proven results.
Time for the third and final period here on the Puck Podcast, and it's time to read your feedback. You, the Puck Podcast listener, not you, Doug, sitting next to me.
I was going to say, I've been talking for the first two periods.
Let's start things off with our fan correspondent reports.
And let's talk with Brendan in Hialeah, Florida, who wants to check in on his Panthers. He says, just to clarify some things about the goalie situation with the Panthers, the reason Luongo was in street clothes was because he had to leave the building to go to the hospital and get a CAT scan. There was apparently some worry that he had been hit in the neck, a la Henrik Lundqvist. When Montoya went down, he must have had the radio on in the car and came rushing back to the building. In the video you see of Luongo in the tunnel, he appears to be arguing with Coach Gerard Gallant that the puck hit him on the collarbone, not the neck, and that he was good enough to go back in, which he eventually did. Later in the show last week, you mentioned the Panthers have announced a contest to become the emergency backup practice goalie. Sadly, I cannot participate as I haven't skated in years and have never played goal, but I have a feeling I might be browsing eBay for some used goalie pads this summer, just in case. Also, no mention of Dmitry Kulikov's Gordie Howe hat trick against the Stars? I know they lost in a shootout, and the goalie kind of overshadowed the Kulikov-Sagan story, but the Stars retaliated for the Sagan injury, and Kulikov stood up and accepted the challenge. The fight was nothing to write home about, but he came right back and scored a goal, then followed it with an assist. Tough loss for the Cats, but an impressive night from our young defenseman nonetheless. To close out the week, the Cats had a nice win in the shootout over the Islanders. In bigger news, this was the first game that I brought my not-quite-three-year-old daughter to without any assistance from my wife. The missus was a little under the weather, so I decided to let her rest at home and have a date night with my little girl. Took a lot of popcorn and ice cream, but she was a trooper and stuck with it all the way through overtime and the shootout. She hasn't quite figured out that you're not supposed to cheer when the visiting team scores two, but that's all right. We can work on that next season. Finally, you were wondering how a high school hockey game in Minnesota could have a bigger crowd than an NHL playoff game in the same arena. My guess is there was more space available without all the TV crews, photographers, press, scouts, mascots, energy teams, and so forth that you see at a typical NHL game. This probably freed up more tickets for the purchasing public, which would account for a greater attendance number. Not a bad theory. That's Brendan in Florida, and great that he got to take his little girl to a Panthers game and enjoy the game. Hope for many more to come. Our next one comes from Matt in Cleveland, checking in on the Rangers. He says, "Gentlemen, while I certainly hope all is well with you both, the delayed podcast has allowed me to piece together a couple observations after a busy week of my own. I started the week out in Chicago, where I caught the Rangers-Hawks game, which was fantastic, and then closed out the week attending the Oilers in Columbus, Rangers in Buffalo, and then back to Columbus to see the Canes versus Blue Jackets. That's a great hockey road trip. I was prepared for the pants trick, but happily settled with seeing two shutouts by my favorite team. Pretty sure I saw Connor McDavid and or Jack Eichel's future teams at some point over the weekend, and hope beyond hope that I saw a Stanley Cup Finals preview. On with my two cents. When I was first taking over, for Lundqvist, it was my opinion that Cam Talbot was getting his wins based more on puck luck than skill. However, he has since settled down and actually been on quite the streak lately. While he still has two or three what the fudge are you thinking adventures when handling the puck per game, he has been he's worked with Coach Benoit, the goalie whisperer Allaire, on being in better position for second chance shots and covering up the puck with greater frequency. His improved form and stellar stat line has some speculating that he will be traded at the draft this year for a second, maybe even a first round pick. There are certainly some teams that need a goalie that could do worse than Cam Talbot. To the big losses this week, as Marty St. Louis and Kevin Klein joined Lundqvist on the injured list. While I don't think St. Louis has been that dynamic this season, his spot in the top six will be hard to fill based on who's on the active roster. Klein has been one of the most consistent players this year for the Rangers and will be missed for sure, but Matt Hunwick had been adequate as the sixth defenseman prior to Yandel's acquisition, and hopefully he can step back in for a few effective weeks. Both guys sound as if they'll be joining Hank and getting back before the playoffs, so hopefully everything progresses smoothly. This brings me to my next point, which is how effective the Rangers team has become at collecting wins and points this season. With injuries to Stefan, Boyle, McDonough, Lundqvist, and Jesper Fast staggered throughout the season, and now St. Louis and Klein, the Rangers have had a few sustained stretches with everyone healthy and in sync, yet they have managed to somewhat quietly climb to the top of the standings. National media seemed to take more of a notice after the Yandel trade, with lots of experts now tagging the Rangers as the favorites in the East, but this team has pretty much been on a tear since the beginning of the December. In the last 3.5 months, Rangers have only lost 7 times in regulation, 10 times total, and gained a total of 69 of a possible 86 points in their last 43 games. Their top five in nearly every statistic, the progress of the young players, particularly Jesper Fast and Kevin Hayes, has been a great treat to watch and sure seems to have rounded out the lineup. I'm really looking forward to the healthy return of St. Louis, Klein, and most importantly Lundqvist before the playoffs, when we hopefully will be able to see the team rolling its four best forward lines with a full complement from the blue line back. Should be great stuff. Looking forward to this week's show and the clash of our wife teams at the start of next week. Hope you have a great team a great week as always, and thanks. That is Matt in Cleveland, big Rangers fan, and we thank him for his correspondence. If you want to check in on your team, your league, your whatever, please do so at correspondence@puckpodcast.com or send it to feedback@puckpodcast.com and just put correspondence in the title.
And we are broadcasting from Doug's office, and this is when we normally check in to see if he has any postcards that have been sent to him from listeners, and indeed he does, and it looks like it's from New York.
Yes, that's right. Look at that natural metropolis, and just look at all the nature you see in that picture, right?
Yeah.
That honestly, I've been to New York. Have you been?
I have not.
I've been to New York twice, and I do not like it one bit, because I like nature, and look at that island. You look at a picture before and after the white man came to Manhattan, and it's, to me, despicable what they've done to that place. But I know people love it there. Not for me. Way too dense in population and not nearly enough natural beauty. But anyway, this one comes from New York, and it is from Matt in Cleveland. What do you know about that? So we just heard from him, and now we get a postcard from him as well. He says, "Howdy, boys. After the tour in Florida, I got to stop over in my hometown for 28 hours. Didn't make it to the Garden, but good times, anyone. Anyway, everyone here holding their breath for a full and quick recovery for King Henrik. And no more puck-handling gaffes by Talbot. Hope you're both swell. Looking forward to next week's show," which he was a part of, Matt. And now back in Cleveland, and he has a frowny face next to the word the Cleveland, so he's obviously not a fan of his new hometown. But anyway, if you want to send a postcard from your beautiful part of the world or wherever you travel, please do so. Doug Stolhand is the name to send it to, 10201 West Pico Boulevard, Building 103, Room 2159, Los Angeles, California, 90064.
All right, let's get to the email portion of the show. We got a couple to read.
Yep, I will go first because okay. we got an email from Dennis Pyatt Sr., which is he's in the woods of Southwest Oregon, beautiful part of the world, legitimately. And his email is the standings if there were different playoff, you know, different formats, right? Different if you gave 2 points for a game in regulation or 3 points and that stuff.
Okay.
So because it's dense and it's kind of more of a visual, you want to take time to read it. I'm going to post it to our Facebook page, and so if you want to see it, check it out over there. And I thank Dennis for putting that together. A lot. It was a really good read and interesting to look at the different possibilities. But the only email I have this week is a question for you, Ed. Comes from Bob. And he says, I can't remember if you mentioned this, but did you guys use the custom pucks during the game? Or were they just a gift for people? I was curious how well they held up during your game. If so, I read the website, and I understand the ink wouldn't hold up during an NHL game, but just trying to get a sense of the durability, I might buy some for our team just as a novelty item. I got a quote from them and told them I heard of them through the Puck Podcast.
Oh, thank you very much,
yes,
Bob.
Yes, I'm sure they appreciate that as well. And Ed, how do you think they held up? We did use them in the game.
We did use them. We used a different puck for each of the three periods to have three game-used pucks, and I still have them. They held up okay. There's definitely some, you can tell they've been used in a game, and I don't know if you use them for a whole season, how well they'd look, but... as far as the paint, obviously, the pucks will be just fine, but they held up okay. They held up okay. So,
yeah, if you wanted to do something like that for a special game, a championship game in your beer league or junior league or your kids league or something like that, I think they would held up just fine for one or two games. And then you'd still be able to read the logo and know that they were game used, especially if you rotated them more frequently. You know, you played two or three pucks per period. They'd hold up very nicely.
Our final email comes from Mario in Austria, who says, hey guys, great show last week, and compared to last week, this has been a much better week in terms of news. I can't put into words how happy I am with the performance of the Calgary Flames that they're putting together. I believe that's Mario's girlfriend team. He said, even without their captain, Mark Giordano, they're still winning and beating all the odds, and I think it would be an awesome and incredible story if they made the playoffs this season. It doesn't matter if this team will be out in the first round. It would be a great experience for all the young kids and for sure something to build on in the future. For all the love Peter LaViolette is getting in Nashville, I think Bob Hartley should also be considered for the Jack Adams Award. What are your thoughts on that? Next up, I'll share my thoughts about a topic from a couple weeks ago. That was players and their no trade clause, no movement clause destinations. My personal list would be 1, Toronto, 2, Montreal. Maple Leafs, not because they're bad, but because I know I would hate the media circus and being owned by such an evil company named Rogers. Thanks for destroying Hockey Night in Canada and putting a subpar product compared to TSN. I really feel bad for Kessel and Phaneuf. They are blamed for all the stuff that's wrong with the Leafs, although none of them had a hand in building the team. They shouldn't take the credit for that. That should go to Brian Burke, Dave Nonis, and all the other thousands of management people this team has had over the past 4 years. As far as the Canadians, 1, I don't speak French. 2, who the hell wants to play for Michel Therrien? And 3, the media circus is the same as Toronto. The only advantage is I wouldn't understand a word.
That makes it better. You're not going to. All you see is your name in a headline, and you wouldn't know. Yeah, they must be saying nice things about me.
The only advantage would be that he wouldn't understand.
Yeah, that would be a good thing for me.
On a more happier note, I still can't believe the Islanders pulled off the Boychuk extension. It just goes to show how everything is started at the top. Back when Charlie Wong was the owner, nobody wanted to sign there, and the Islanders found themselves on a lot of no-trade lists. In comes new ownership with deep pockets and the willingness to spend, and all of a sudden, guys like Boychuk, Halak, and Letty not only want to play there, but are also willing to sign extensions. Great job, Islanders. I'm sure some people will bitch and moan about the length and cap hit, but the reality is Boychuk would have easily gotten the same, if not more, on the open market, and usually guys like him aren't making it to an unrestricted free agent, so good for the Islanders. Now, hopefully, Michael Grabner can stay healthy and enjoy his second playoff run with this team. Closing out my email, I wanted to share my thoughts about a coach who hated the media and now is using them to blast all his former players. Ron Wilson. I don't know that Ron ever hated the media. Matter of fact, I think he liked the media an awful lot. But anyway, he has been in the news a lot lately.
Yeah, he seems to have a quote a week that throws another member of the Leafs organization under the bus.
Phil Kessel was uncoachable, and now Nazem Kadri apparently never listened to him. Never listened to me.
Yeah.
Mario continues, it's really too bad that he wasn't fired from the Sharks because I'm sure Jumbo Joe would have told him to shut his mouth and move on. As for Mr. Wilson, he may hate the Leafs and some of his former players, Kessel and Kadri, but he's doing himself a real disservice here. No GM worth a puck will ever sign a guy who's calling out his former players like that. I'm pretty sure Ron Wilson said he's never going to coach again. So anyway, he says, if that's him trying to get a job again, I say good riddance, you clown. Speaking of clowns, I think Mr. Doug Wilson is an honorable mention this week. First, he stripped the C from Joe Thornton and I guess the A from Marlowe. Then the Sharks are having a subpar season by their standards, and none of the promised huge changes over the summer have taken place. Then the team finally puts together a few wins, and Wilson comes out ripping Thornton through the media. I mean, what gives? If I'm the owner, I'd ask, why did you sign a guy to an extension if you hate him that much? I'd give him 25 seconds to reply with a believable answer, and if he doesn't have one, I'd send him his papers for next year. That's just unbelievable. I would be.
I like the 25 seconds. Go.
If I would be a betting man, I would put money on Thornton still being there next year and Doug Wilson gone.
I agree.
Thank you for the great show each and every week. Mario in Austria.
You know, I just got a, I was just checking Twitter and I see Ron Wilson has issued a couple more.
Are you serious?
Statements about the Maple Leafs. So here's the latest one. He says, Joffrey Lupul always took up two parking spaces. And Dion Phaneuf borrowed Ron's soap and never give it back. A couple throwbacks to the old Chico Escuela skit from Saturday Night Live. Fantastic skit back
Hockey
in the day.
Hockey been very, very good to me.
I just loved the Ed Cranepool borrowed Chico's soap, never give it back. What a random thing to complain about. But yeah, Ron is certainly just saving these gems. Like, just get it all out, buddy. Just let's just go through the roster of players you coached and you can give us your opinions on all of them and or write a good book. But he's certainly keeping himself in the headlines, not giving himself any good options for coaching in the future.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think he's...
He's not worried about his future employment.
No, he's not.
If he is, he's worried about getting a job in the media, which clearly they love to get comments like that.
Well, thanks to everybody who emailed. If you would like to send us an email on anything, feedback@puckpodcast.com is the email address. You could send Doug an email, Doug@puckpodcast.com, or me an email, Eddie@puckpodcast.com, EDDIE. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/puckpodcast. Our Twitter account, you can follow us at Puck Podcast, and our webpage is puckpodcast.com.
That's right, and we will be back next week. We're not sure when, but we will be back next week with another episode to recap all that happens between now and then, and we appreciate all the support. We got a couple emails from people saying they had just found the show recently.
Oh, awesome.
And I wrote them back, and really love hearing that. So spread the word if you can on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We're on all three of those. Tell your friends. And, we appreciate the support, and we will be back next week with another edition
of the Puck Podcast. Doug's going to start his work day, and I'm going to go home and go to sleep.
Oh, you sure you don't want to trade places?
Yes, yeah, I'm sure.
Believe me, I know you don't.
For my co-host, Doug Stolhan, I'm Eddie Garcia, and we will talk to you next week with another edition of the Puck Podcast.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.